today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
A fun fact for everybody here. So both of us ended up seeing the latest incarnation of the Saints in November. Didn't know that we were at the same show.
Hey, this is Jim. Welcome to our Rock in the Suburbs guest host weeks. Paul Hayden and Vasanth Ramamurthy are going to talk about punk all these 2 weeks. And today is part two. And they're going to talk about British and Australian first wave punk. All right, guys, take it away.
And now we're going to go to the first wave of the UK.
Yes.
And
although you just said first wave UK, I'm actually starting with an Australian band because I didn't know where else to group this. But we'll say first wave Commonwealth, let's say, to keep it more generic. But we're going to be talking about The Saints. I'm Stranded is the name of the album, is my pick. So they formed in 1973 in Brisbane, and their first single, I'm Stranded, was released in 1976, and that has the distinction of being the first sort of punk single that was released outside the US. So if you count the Ramones as being first, and then the Damned, I guess, as being the first in the UK, the Saints preceded at least the UK bands by that. I always found it interesting that the Saints, being all the way in Australia, you know, culturally isolated, let's say, that they sort of stumbled upon the same sound as the Ramones. And I think it stems from, just like the Ramones were, the Saints were also influenced by sort of the 50s and 60s rock and roll. So they both had the same sort of idea in mind of taking that sort of rock and pop and speeding it up. So that's kind of what you hear on this first album. There's a song, Kissin' Cousins, which Elvis covered. So that kind of, you know, shows that influence. And the other interesting thing is that the songs are a bit longer on this album. They're not, you know, quite as short as the Ramones were. Like the last song, you know, is almost 5 minutes long, and there's a couple other, you know, 4 minute ones. So they weren't afraid to sort of stretch out a little bit. You know, Ed Cooper is the guitarist in this band, very good player, good riffs, and sort of let him go wild on the guitar on this album. So yeah, this is, again, for me, a 10 out of 10 sort of early punk classic for me coming out of Australia.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing that how, considering how isolated they were, that they were almost through like, whatever that, like they were reading the minds of mm-hmm. all these other, you know, independent musicians coming up with this great album. And what I dig about it is that, you know, it can do it every different way. You know, it's got your I'm Stranded, and then you've got, like, was it Nights in Venice? There's one that's like just kind of takes its time. It's just kind of nice groove going. I can't think of the name of the title, but they could do it like it wasn't just bam, bam, bam. So they really did have some good diversity in their songs. And then the second album too, they really stretched it. And
right.
To their credit, they almost, it's almost like a different band. And a fun fact for everybody here. So both of us ended up seeing the latest incarnation of the Saints in November. Didn't know that we were at the same show,
Right.
but yeah, we saw the Ed Cooper led Saints with Mark Arm on vocals, and it was just great.
Oh, yeah.
Just energy off the charts. When they played I'm Stranded, I thought it's too early in the set. I thought for sure that was the closer. But then that might have been either the second or the third to last song, but the closer was Know Your Product.
Yeah.
And that was the right closer. That was the right choice. They had the
Yeah.
horn section and everything. So that was just a lot of fun. And who knows if we'll have a chance to see that in person again,
Exactly.
given the age and all that other stuff. But yeah, that's a great choice and certainly something that belongs in every collection because it's no fat on that album. All right, I am going to chime in with my choice from the UK, and that's the self-titled debut from the Undertones. And they were a band from Derry, Northern Ireland. And to me, it's a kind of a rare punk album in that it ignored the social issues of the time and really focused on what it's like to be a young person. Teen angst, heartbreak, all the joys that come with your first taste of freedom, it's all here. And the song titles kind of give you that idea. Girls don't like it. She's a runaround. Here comes the summer. And you get an idea of what matters to these guys. And Melody Maker has a great quote. They declared it an album that is as disposable as it is essential, depending on the mood of the moment. Not an album to discard carelessly, but one to leave on permanent standby. So, while it's not going to change the world, it sure is a lot of fun to listen to. And it contains John Peel's favorite song of all time, Teenage Kicks.
We should mention, I think it was Eric Lorenz who did a few episodes on the Undertones way back when on this podcast. So those were very good episodes. You should go back and check those out. I think he talked about at least the first three or four Undertones albums if you want to get more in depth. But yeah, I hadn't listened to this in a while, but when I went back to it was a lot of fun. Like there's legitimately, you could say, three to four candidates for like perfect pop songs on this album. I think definitely Teenage Kicks. I would say Get Over You is one pick for me. Yeah, what else? Like Here Comes the Summer or like a Male Model, any
Male
number
model.
of songs could be a perfect pop candidate, I feel like.
Yeah, they really did write catchy songs, and the vocals are just great. There's his voice, Fergal Sharkey, just captures that kind of nervousness, excitement that you're late teens, early 20s, and you're trying to figure things out. And sometimes your body doesn't do what your mind wants it to
Yep.
do. You can just kind of hear that in his vocals.
Street.
right, what's next, Vasant?
I am going to go to Scotland for a band called The Rizzillos, and the album is called Can't Stand The Rizzillos. This was released in 1978 on Sire Records, as I mentioned, a Scottish band. And here comes this name again, but it was recorded with Bob Clearmountain at the famous New York studio, The Power Station, which is interesting for a Scottish band to be recording there.
Yeah.
But again, they had that Sire Records money going for them. So, yeah, this one is very much, I think, in the vein of sort of the Ramones and Undertones as well. It's sort of a youth oriented youth interest, sort of album where it's very poppy. It has, songs about like sci-fi and, flying saucers and things like that. Sort of a, pop kitschy culture kind of thing going on. There are a few covers on here which should indicate kind of where they're coming from. There's a Dave Clark 5 cover, Glad All Over. There's a Jerry and the Pacemakers cover. And then there's also a Fleetwood Mac cover, surprisingly, for like one of the when the early days of Fleetwood Mac when they were a blues band. And so that kind of shows you, Jerry and the Pacemakers and Dave Clark 5, that's the kind of 60s pop that the Ramones loved as well. So these guys are coming from a similar place. But yeah, on this album, the song like some I guess Flying Saucer Attack, and then I can't remember the hit song right now, but yeah, this is a really catchy, fun punk pop album, I guess you'd call it. And then one other interesting note is that one of the songwriters, Joe Callis, actually went on to the Human League after this the Rizzillos were done, and he helped co-write a lot of the songs on the Human League's hit album Dare, like Don't You Want Me and stuff like that. So that's the connection.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going through the tracks and Flying Saucer Attack. Is it something? No, that's the Fleetwood Mac cover. See, I did not know somebody's going to get their head kicked in tonight.
That's a Fleetwood Mac cover, yeah.
Whoa, that does not sound like a Fleetwood Mac title, does it?
Exactly, yeah.
Is it Top of the Pops? Is
Top of
that
the Pops,
them?
that's the one I was thinking of. Yes,
Okay.
perfect song there.
Yeah, they put that one on right after the Undertones. You got a good party going.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, good stuff, fun stuff. And yeah, it's funny how you mentioned the power station and Bob Clear Mountain. Yeah, I get the idea that it was similar to when Nirvana hit, that record companies are just throwing money around to, whatever band sounds like. Well, I guess at the time, I mean, punk wasn't exactly unsuccessful on the charts, but I
Right.
think they felt like if they could find that band, like even The Clash by 79 was, doing not punk stuff, and Elvis Costello even moved on Talking Heads. They all kind of moved on. But I think like Pretenders, Blondie in particular, they were from the punk scene, but Heart of Glass was a number one single. So
It was, yeah.
I think they good.
I imagine, the Seymour Stein effect is here as well, since the Rosillos and the Dead Boys I mentioned before, Sire Records. So I'm sure he had a hand in, pushing these bands.
Yes, I think he's one of those guys that probably needs to get more credit for
Right.
allowing these bands to develop and record, what turned out to be pretty timeless music. Want to throw in some honorable mentions from this era?
Sure. One would be Wires, the first album, Pink Flag, released in 77. That's an amazing album, and actually the first three Wire albums are wonderful, but you could argue the second and third are not, starting to get into the post-punk territory.
Sure.
The other one would be the Jam, Snap. I think all the Jam albums are pretty strong, but I like the Snap singles compilation because their singles are just amazing. But yeah, I love the Jam. And then the Buzzcocks, I added the Love Bites album. I think most people probably own Singles Going Steady from the Buzzcocks, which is their singles compilation, but the first few Buzzcocks albums are really strong, so I'd encourage people to dig into those if they haven't, just because like they get kind of weird on those albums. Like there's like Love Bites has like 6 7 minute sort of like krautrock influence songs where they just like kind of go off on a riff for a long time. So there's like the Buzzcocks are probably one of my favorite from this wave of the UK, just because they really weren't afraid to sort of get a little bit strange on their albums, at least if they didn't necessarily on the singles.
Right. There's some of the later material that brings in a lot of synthesizers, and I'm generally, give me a choice of guitar or keyboards, I'll always choose guitar, but I think they were able to retain their pop chops and their melodic sense, but introducing, synthesizers in a very organic way. It didn't sound forced, didn't sound like they were, chasing a trend. It just seemed like a natural, as post-punk started to catch on, I think a lot of the original punks said, okay, this is interesting. We can do something with that, but still kind of keep our identity. So
Yeah.
definitely, those albums are all worth checking out. That first Mach 1 of Buzzcocks or whatever you want to call it has a lot, much more than just, they're much more than just singles going steady, for
For
sure.
sure. Yep.
And we're going to stop things here now. That was part two of this series. Tomorrow, listen to part three, where the guys are going to talk about international hardcore. It's Rockin' the Suburbs, and we will, or they will, talk to you tomorrow.